Welcome to the Vintage Faith Podcast. We are a Foursquare church based in Culver City, California. We're committed to taking care of our community through the teachings of Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit. Our heart is to encounter God, equip the church, and love the city. Expect to hear sermons from our senior pastor, Matt Kladnick, as well as our guest speakers. For more info, check us out at vffchurch.com.
Everybody, my name is Grace Kladnick, and my husband and I are the pastors here at Vintage Faith, and I am not preaching today. I'm sad about that, but I'm super excited about who is preaching, and I wanted to introduce her. But so my friend, Tyra Harger, is going to be speaking this morning, and I'm so excited. You guys are in for a treat. She spoke here before, but she is a powerhouse. She's an awesome mama. She is a business owner, a life coach, awesome wife. I mean, the list goes on. She's cute as can be, but intelligent, loves the Lord, all those great things. So would you welcome Tyra as she comes to speak this morning?
Hi, guys. Thanks for the awesome welcome, Grace. I don't live up to that on most days, so you got to keep it real. All right. So today I'm going to talk about shifting your perspective. So has anyone here had a shift in perspective? And so one way you might have a shift in perspective is a new vantage point. So maybe you climb to a mountaintop, you drive over a hillside and you can see something different. I did a lot of business travel, so I was always going to Chicago. And when I would do all the flyover states and look over middle America, it would look completely different than what you would see if you're walking among those fields. So you might have like a patchwork quilt of things. I always remember flying over Colorado, like, oh my goodness, the Rocky Mountains are no joke. Like the entire state feels like it's composed of these crazy mountaintops. So today we're gonna talk about shifting your perspective with one idea that can kind of change everything. So first I'm gonna tell you a little story. So there was a boy, and he was sitting on the steps of a building, and he had a hat out in front of him, and he had a sign that said, "I'm blind, please help." There was a few coins in his little hat, and people are walking by, and some people would notice him. Some people might stop and throw a coin in or something. But a man walked by, and he took his sign, and he turned it around, and he wrote something else on it, and he set it down. And he decided to check back up on the boy hours later, and he saw that it was overflowing with money. And the little boy recognized the man's footsteps because, of course, when you lose one of your senses, the other ones are heightened. So he kind of recognized the cadence of his steps. And so he asked the man, sir, what did you write on the back of my sign? And the man said, "Today is a beautiful day, but I cannot see it." And so what that did for those people that were passing by is it gave them a shift in perspective.
That's right.
It changed their outlook. It started making them grateful. And so today we're going to talk about gratitude. And this is a sermon for me as much as it is for you. I'm still figuring this out. And I was really, actually, before Matt even asked me to speak, I was looking into gratitude because I just noticed myself getting really grumpy, really kind of complaining about things that I shouldn't be complaining about. I'm living the life I wanted to live. I quit my job. I did all these things. I should be like bursting with joy, but I'm also that crazy, you know, extroverted person that all my energy is used up in the middle of the day, and then by 7 p.m., I'm a monster, which is great because my husband comes home around 8 o'clock at night, and then he gets that version of me, and then my kids somehow procrastinate, and we're doing homework right before bed. You know, it's, again, a perfect version of me, so again, I'm not that grateful person. I'm complaining. I'm the evil version of myself, and so I was just really convicted, like, wow, I've got so much to be thankful for. I have so many good things going for me, but yet I got into this cycle of complaining. I got into this cycle of poor me. And what it was, I realized, is it was all about me. It wasn't about serving my family, serving my community, serving my friends. It was all about me. And so that was just the start of shifting my perspective. So if you think about gratitude, it's no surprise right now to see hashtag blessed, hashtag grateful this time of year. We're coming up on Thanksgiving. It's coming really soon. And so it's going to be no surprise to see those out there. People in social media are maybe posting pictures. They might even have gratitude lists that they're posting in social media. And I used to think like, oh, how nice for you. You have time to do that? That's really cute. I'm busy. I don't know how that's relevant to me. Like, that's nice for you, but that's not something I'm dealing with, which is kind of crazy. And so as a high-performing type A person, I'm like, yeah, that's great. And then I also didn't think about it with my Christianity, which is also kind of a shock. So I need a lot of prayer, guys. But it is actually very much on trend. Like, there's a lot of books out there about gratitude. And there's also a lot of science out there. There's a new type of psychology, which is positive psychology. It's only a couple decades old. And they're actually studying what happens to people when they are grateful. And it actually changes the way your brain is wired. So this area of neuroscience is an emerging field. You can see differences in people. So not only do they have, like, you know, a more positive outlook on life, but they also are finding that they're doing better in their jobs. They're losing weight. They're accomplishing their goals that they set out. They might have better health and well-being overall. So it's a really fascinating study that just a mindset shift can have such a ripple effect in your entire life. And so gratitude is definitely trendy. But it's also really ancient. So I looked up, you know, gratitude throughout the ages, and all the famous philosophers talk about gratitude. So Cicero said it was actually the greatest of all virtues. In fact, it was the parent of all virtue. It's a part of every major world religion. And no surprise, it's a part of Christianity. I don't know why I never made that big connection before again. We have Psalms. We have, like, whole books of the Bible about praising God, you know. Somehow I missed that. So it's interesting that gratitude is old news and new news. Gratitude is both trendy and ancient. But the reason for this is that it's a timeless and universal concept. The reason I think that's happening and the reason that this is our reality is because God created us to be in connection not only with him, but also in connection with others. And so maybe you're here today and you're kind of just checking this whole Christianity thing out. You're not a Christ follower. You might not, you know, believe in that yet. So the way you can think about it, it's in your DNA. God wired this in your DNA that we're to be in relationship with others. We actually depend on others for our survival. When I was looking into this and I was processing it a bunch, I was putting my kiddos to bed this week and they were asking where the promised land was. And I'm like, well, you know, Middle Eastern geography has changed quite a bit in the last 3,500 years, but we could kind of go to a map maybe and, like, figure that out. But it made me tell them the story again of the Israelites, those grumbling Israelites that, you know, they had this miraculous thing happen to them where God rescued them for hundreds of years of slavery. The evil Egyptian Pharaoh was, you know, holding them captive, making their lives miserable, and God rescued them from that. And then they had this journey to the promised land. And it was so funny. It was so audible that God said, for me and for all of you, he's like, I have so much for you. I have so much for you, but you often miss it. You get distracted. You focus on the wrong things, and you worry about the wrong things, and you complain about the wrong things. So he has that for us. And so, church, I don't want us to miss out on this experience. I don't want us to miss out on what he has for us today. And I've been missing out on a lot of it. I've been missing out on a lot of joy, and I don't want that for any of you.
Come on, that's good.
I'm going to go into the author of Philippians. This is a guy named Paul, and I'll talk about him in a little bit. But he wrote this when he was in prison. He was writing it to the people and church of Philippi. So here's how it goes. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. We're going to talk about Paul a little bit. So this guy was a Pharisee. He was a part of a very conservative sect of Judaism. He was a Roman citizen, so he had more access probably than the average Jew did in those days. He got more favoritism. He was studying to be a high priest, but he was also a bit of a religious terrorist. So not a nice guy. He was trying to eradicate Christianity. It was just a few years after Christ had died on the cross for everyone and was resurrected. And then all the people that had heard about, you know, were eyewitnesses to his death and resurrection, and all the people that were spreading it, Paul was making it his mission to shut it down. Yeah. He was killing people. He was trying to get people stoned. He was chasing people out of town. He was doing his darndest to get rid of this. But he went through a radical conversion, and that's a sermon for another day. But he went through a transformation, and this was a true chemical shift. Last week, Matt, and I'm so mad he's not here to hear this, me say this. I'm just kidding. I'm finally quoting him, and he's not here. I'm just kidding. But Matt talked about last week, as a Christian, you go through a transformation, and you're either going through a physical one or a chemical one. And so Paul really went through a chemical one. He, just like we talked about with gratitude, rewiring your brain, his brain was rewired. Yes. So the Apostle Paul really went through this major shift, and he went from being really entitled to being grateful. He went from trying to control everything to submitting. He went from being a power player and like caring all the time about power and what he can do with his power to actually empowering others. And he went from really wanting justice, and you know, he saw right and wrong very clearly, and he was trying to again eradicate anyone who saw it differently than him to a position of grace. And then he was also like tried to intimidate people, and then he went from that attribute to encouraging people. So he just really went through this radical shift because of where he was within the Roman Empire. So take a step back there first. So he became a Christian, a Christ follower. Then he was spreading the news. And just like people, he was trying to, you know, make people not talk about it before, then the Roman Empire was doing that to him. So he got beat up a lot. He got chased out of cities and towns. He got shipwrecked. He was jailed several times. And so his life was not pretty after he became a Christian. Actually, it was, you know, you want to think you step up, you level up when you become a Christian. His leveled down significantly in terms of his physical surroundings. Yeah. Of course, his spiritual life was awesome. But he went from a place of power and prestige to submission, to taking those, you know, lumps and taking those, you know, people physically assaulting him. And so he wrote Philippians from a jail cell. He wrote it from a place where it was dark and cold. There was probably rats. There was probably lots of cockroaches. I don't know. It was not a nice place to be. He probably had bad food. He probably had a hard place to sleep. He probably had lewd inmates. I guess that's the evergreen part of prison that doesn't ever change. You have the creepy inmates next to you. But despite that, he was actually using that time to praise God and to also to reach out and encourage other Christians. So how often when we're in a place where we're having a hard time, do we just not go out? We're going out, but we're not going out to encourage others. We're going out to actually list all the things that are happening to us. And I've been there. You're going out there to talk about, well, this is going wrong and this is going wrong and I can't believe this is happening. But he did the opposite. He actually focused his energy on encouraging others. He focused on helping the church and all these church plants to reach their potential. So we're going to read this with the Message translation now, and then just soak this in, because this is Paul the apostle. He's going through a hard time. He's not in an awesome situation right now. And this is what he's saying. Don't fret or worry. Instead of worrying, pray. Let petitions and praises shape your worries into prayers, letting God know your concerns. Before you know it, a sense of God's wholeness, everything coming together for good, will come and settle you down. It's wonderful what happens when Christ displaces worry at the center of your life. Summing it all up, friends, I'd say you'll do your best by filling your minds and meditating on things true, noble, reputable, authentic, compelling, gracious, the best, not the worst, the beautiful, not the ugly, things to praise and not things to curse. So where is your focus? And I had to ask myself this question, of course, and it's not even a question I ask myself once and I figure it out. It's a question I continually ask, where is my focus every day? Am I focusing on the negative? Am I focusing on what people are doing to me versus what I can be doing for others? And you might say, well, I was raised in a home where, you know, my parents were just negative and that's how I am. Or you were maybe the person that would just say, well, I just know everything, and you know, I just see things that could be improved. You know, like I'm very, you know, I have to control things. And whatever your excuse, that's not going to fly, because we look at Paul. He was the control freak. He was this demanding type A crazy person like I am, and and he was able to change. So I think we can change too. But it's crazy when you are positive, you attract positivity in your life. You start seeing things show up in your life that are good. When you are focusing on the negative, more bad things start happening. You're just seeing more and more negative. Your lens in which you're viewing life is shaped by your heart. So we're going to read a verse in Matthew 6:30-33. This is one of the disciples of Christ, and he wrote this. If God gives such attention to the appearance of wildflowers, most of which are never, ever even seen, don't you think he'll attend to you, take pride in you, do his best for you? What I'm trying to do here is to get you to relax. I never relax. To not be so preoccupied with getting so you can respond to God's giving. People who don't know God and the way he works fuss over these things. But you know both God and how he works. Steep your life in God reality, God initiative, God provisions. Don't worry about missing out. You'll find all your everyday human concerns will be met. And so I have a little story. I went to an amazing women's leadership conference called Propel, and we had incredible speakers. We got to sit in the front row. Like, when does that ever happen? We actually sat next to people. They're like, did you buy your tickets on opening day? And we're like, no, we just found a couple weeks ago. And so it was one awesome blessing after another. And we were able to take advantage of this incredible experience. But after this event, what was I telling people about? I'm like, oh, we had to leave early. I missed the last speaker. And instead of focusing on all the great things that God gave me there, I was focusing on what I didn't get or what I thought I needed more of. And so it was just such a place of conviction that I even caught myself. It was like a text message. I'm like, what am I doing right now? I received all these wonderful things. And yet what I was focusing on was the negative. And so that was something that I really was, you know, needed to be shaped and changed. I was like, oh gosh, this is really running deep here. And so are you focusing on life from a place of being entitled or from being grateful? So Philippians 2:3-5, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourself, not looking to your own interests, but each of you the interest of others. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ. So in humility, value others above yourself. How many of us can say that we value others above ourselves? We're so wired to be selfish. It's so hard. But that's such a good reminder. Colossians 3:15-17. Let the peace of Christ keep you in tune with each other and step with each other. None of this going off and doing your own thing. And cultivate thankfulness. Let the word of Christ, the message, have the run of the house. Give it plenty of room in your lives. Instruct and direct one another using good common sense. And sing your hearts out to God. Let every detail in your lives, words, actions, whatever, be done in the name of the Master Jesus. Thanking God the Father every step of the way. So we're going to talk about relationships and gratitude. They're very interconnected. So gratitude is also relational. Yeah. And because the way God wired us to be not only in connection with him and connection with others, we need to express our gratitude. I love this quote, unexpressed gratitude is ingratitude. That's how someone receives it. So if someone's doing something kind for you or nice to you, and you're feeling it in your heart, but they don't ever see that. They don't know that. And so what happens is they distance themselves from you because they just put something out there and you're not even acknowledging it. And so the crazy thing is, of course, God can see our hearts. He can see if we're grateful in our hearts, but he also wants to hear it. But your friends, your family, your loved one, they can't tell if you're grateful inside your heart. And so that's really important. This is really important that we get this right because we are going to be living in community for probably until we die. And so we got to figure out how to be better in relationships. And when you express your gratitude, you actually build intimacy. You build trust with that other person. And when you don't express your gratitude, you build distance and distrust. And so that is something that we have to be aware of. And this will, again, shape your relationships. And so as you're kind of processing this sermon, think about, are there people in your life that you haven't expressed gratitude to? You're kind of taking them for granted or you didn't even think of it. And so often I think we kind of have expectations of people. Like maybe it's your employer and you're like, but I do my work, they're buying a service from me, why should I thank my employer? But maybe it's a boss, maybe they're treating you really well, or maybe it's your spouse, they're doing something for you. Maybe they're just even picking up their laundry. Maybe it's just something really simple, or they did a load of dishes. Whatever it is, like being grateful and expressing that gratitude. And of course, we all have amazing friends. You know, are we expressing gratitude to friends? Because day in and day out, they're with us. They're with us hearing us complain. They are with us not being the best version. They see the ugly side too. And so can we express gratitude to our friends? And of course, our family members. And we're coming up on Thanksgiving, and you know, Thanksgiving can be very dysfunctional. And all the different personalities at play. There's, you know, extended families that are coming together. But it's always helpful if we have that attitude of grace and forgiveness and being grateful for the people around us. So Jeremiah 17:10, "But I, God, search the heart and examine the mind. I get to the heart of the human. I get to the root of things. I treat them as they really are, not as they pretend to be." What you complain about reveals your heart. Wow. So you will show what you really care about, but what you're complaining about. And so often when I'm complaining, it's all about me. It's all about me. It's not because I'm fighting social injustice. It's about me. And it's also showing that I'm not using God as my one true hope. I'm not looking to God. I'm not looking to what I should be looking at in terms of defining who I am as a person. You'll start catching yourself when you complain now. Like, that's happening to me all the time. I can't say that I'm making a drastic change. I'm working on it. I'm still working on it. But I'm catching myself. I'm more aware of what's happening in those moments, because it's a testament of where my heart is at that moment. So I'm going to invite you guys all to shift your perspective today. And I have some application. Of course, I have an application slide. I'm again a life business coach, so I like to give lots of homework. So the first thing I want to talk about in the so what of this sermon is clear it out. So some of us are so busy, and I think I've fallen into this camp a lot. We're so busy that we don't take the time. We don't even pause to be grateful. And our lives might be so overstuffed that there's not even room for God. And so if you're in a place like that, if you're in a season of your life, try to find some margin. And of course, the holidays are coming, so you're probably thinking, "Tyra, are you kidding me? Like, that's impossible." Like, it only gets worse in December. Like, are you crazy? But think twice about saying yes to obligations that you think you have to do. Like, think twice about saying yes to invitations or taking on more, because without margin in your life, you're gonna miss the joy of the season. You're gonna miss all that God's done for you because your life is too stuffed to the brim. Focus on others. So if you're having a really bad day and you're just focusing on yourself and you're being a total narcissist, maybe you should go out and buy some flowers for someone and do a doorstop drop. You know, do something that breaks you out of your own little bubble of, you know, it's all about me. Keep a gratitude list. So I've been doing this since November, and it's not publicized anywhere, but it's really a good practice. So in my days, and I'm doing it in my iPhone notes. It's not like I'm taking a lot of time here. So don't think I'm all wonderful or anything. But I've been keeping a list of what I'm grateful for, and it's something simple like, it was raining the other day when I'd just done a hard workout and I'm walking my dogs and I was so excited about this cold rain. Like, it could be the simplest thing that God's brought into your life. But it's really helped shape how I'm thinking of my day. So even though I know at the night I have to like kind of take stock of my day. And so throughout the day I'm thinking like, first of all, it's kind of jarring me, like, am I being grateful? But also like, wow, I'm having a moment. I'm taking a pause and saying, oh wow, this is something I should be grateful for. This is something that's really good. And I'm really acknowledging that there's something good in my day. Express your gratitude to God and others. Again, it's so important that we vocalize this. And I was so reminded that when we sing, we're praising God. But that's our thanksgiving to God. But I realized that too often that's dedicated to Sunday mornings. So how often in the week, and if I don't put my praise music on, am I really thanking God? Like, am I getting in that spirit during the work week? And then others, like, I would love for you guys to think of someone that you haven't expressed gratitude for in a long time, or you haven't expressed thanks. And maybe you're sending them a text message. Maybe you're writing them a handwritten letter. Maybe you are calling them. But be specific. You know, be specific about what that person is doing for you, or how and why you appreciate them. and pray your worries and fears. This is, I mean, so many of us, I think, in this room might be going through a really, really hard time. You've lost loved ones. Just bad stuff has happened to you. And I want to just invite you to bring that to God. Like, we have an entire book of the Bible called the Psalms. You know, Psalms means hymns. So it means like praises, right? But actually, over half of the Psalms are laments. They're complaints. They're cries out to God for his mercy. And so the difference between like the Israelites grumbling and complaining in the wilderness and the people that were writing the Psalms like David is they were acknowledging him as a savior. They were not happy with their conditions. They were not thriving by any means, but what they were doing is they were bringing it to him. And so if you're going through a rough time, you might not feel an ounce of gratitude right now, and that's okay, but bring your pain to God. And then at the same time, when you do have those moments of fear and you're worried, I just go back to those verses we looked at earlier. Like, he tells us so clearly, pray your worries, pray your fears, bring it to him, let him be the center, and he'll take care of it all. So that's what I wanted to leave you with today. I just hope that you guys can experience a shift in perspective, that you guys can take this one idea, this one concept of gratitude, and let it permeate your life. It has a massive, I mean, like, again, like, science is studying this, and it's phenomenal, all this stuff. But it's like what God can do in transforming our hearts. Like, that's the powerful news. That's the stuff that's we've known all along. Like, we knew that God was doing this way before science was measuring it. So try to shift your perspective today. Thanks. Oh, I forgot. And so if anyone would like prayer, we have a prayer team. So if anyone wants to come up for prayer, but otherwise I would love to invite you to be the church this week. Again, you're going to be with family. Be extra nice. Be on your extra grateful behavior and be the church this week. Thank you.